As I mentioned to those of you who were in services last night, this is a weekend of wizardry. Not only Bilam in this morning's Parsha, but of course last night, although I know nobody went to the bookstore on Shabbos, there were piles of Harry Potter waiting to be sold to all those who want to consume the wisdom of modern wizards. And so I thought I would begin this morning by talking about the greatest wizard of my youth, whom some of you I'm sure remember, although it's been years since I have seen him perform. His name was the Amazing Kreskin. And the Amazing Kreskin used to do all sorts of tricks, read the minds of the audience, bend things from a distance. But his best trick was that he would write down and seal in a locked box, which was locked, you know, and put in some safe, in some bank, somewhere in Tangiers, you know, guarded by the National Guard, and then they would bring it out for the special. The headline of the paper, a day, a week, a month before, and then on that day, they would go and they would get the box and they would open it up, and miraculously, on the paper would be written the headline. You deserve nothing less. So I thought this morning, I will tell you what it will say in tomorrow's Parade magazine. Now, for those of you who don't know Parade magazine, I have to explain what it is. Every Sunday morning, in my home, comes the New York Times and the LA Times. The New York Times is very easy to take apart. You take out the section you want, you ignore the other ones. The LA Times is not so simple. If you want to find Parade magazine tomorrow morning in the LA Times, you have to take out large numbers of ads and peel through the, you know, ad for swamp coolers from Home Depot and the log cabin that you build yourself for $25 from IKEA, and somewhere in there will be a thin full-color magazine called Parade. And the cover always says something like the following. First of all, it's almost always a celebrity on the cover, if not somewhere inside. Once a year, it's true, they do an annual survey of salaries, so you get to see how much what you make compares, you know, with a construction worker in Dubuque. But apart from that, it's almost always a celebrity on the cover, and this is what it says. Britney Spears declares, love is better than money. I mean, if you've read Parade, you know that I'm not exaggerating, right? Bobby Brown says, drugs and violence don't make you happy. And that's Parade magazine. And every single week, some celebrity expresses themselves in platitudes so old you have to blow the dust off of them. But they're always, it's good to be good, love is good, I finally grew up and realized other human beings matter, something like that. So tomorrow morning, you'll see, I don't know which celebrity, but it will be something like, I have discovered that relating to other people makes you friends. Right? Now, why do I bring this up? You could put Bilam on the cover of Parade and it would fit. Because he says, I'm not going to go and curse those people because God doesn't want me to, and I know I can't do anything that God doesn't want. And Balak says, well, what about if I double your salary? And he ends up going. And then, of course, what comes out of his mouth? A blessing on Israel. And so I could just see the cover. Bilam declares, blessing is better than money. And what this raises, and what is a serious question, is why do we need, thousands of years after people realized the scale of true human values, to be reminded of it every single week on the cover of Parade magazine? It's enough already. You know, people always say that there isn't enough wisdom in the world, but it's not true. There is a surfeit of wisdom in the world. We have more wisdom than we know what to do with. It isn't that people don't know. We do know. And if you don't know, you get it every weekend on the cover of Parade with the LA Times. So why is it that we don't seem to live our lives differently, and every single time we see that story, we go to read it because we want to discover how it is that the celebrity finally realized that human connections make a difference in your life? Because I've got to believe that somebody's reading those stories, or they wouldn't be on the cover of the most popular magazine in America, with the possible exception of Reader's Digest, which has the same thing on the cover. Don't people know by now? Haven't we realized? Don't we have repositories of wisdom that actually are sufficient to let us know the lessons of life? Doesn't have to be only from Parade magazine. I can't forbear to do this, but you know, Stanley, you've given me a couple of your booklets full of wise sayings that you got from your father and others, and I think when I look at these sayings, shouldn't we know this by now? Why in 2005 do we still have to say, you know, I always told you, absence makes the heart grow fonder. So I have a response. I don't know if it's an answer, but I have a response. There, I can see you better. I don't know if you can see me better. And I'll tell it to you in a beautiful story that I have mentioned once before, but it fits this so nicely, I'm going to tell it again. It's about a man with a lovely daughter. And this daughter is not only beautiful, but she's smart and she's accomplished and she's capable and she's charismatic and she's everything he wants in a daughter, and he doesn't want to let just anybody marry his daughter. So he decides, this is in an old traditional community, where do you go to find the right match for your pious and caring and charismatic daughter? You go to the great yeshiva in the next town where all these ardent, pious young men are studying, and you see if somebody there is worthy of your daughter. So he goes off to the yeshiva, and he speaks before the thousands of assembled students, and he says, I am going to pose a Talmudic problem. And anybody in this entire group who can give me the right answer can marry my daughter. So then he lays out the problem, and it is an extraordinarily difficult one. And the first day, thousands of people line up, and one after another, they offer this wealthy man their solutions. And he says, no, you're wrong, no, you're wrong. The next day, 500 people line up, and the next day, and the next day, and finally, by attrition, on the last day he's there, before he goes home to his palace, his wealth, his daughter, his life, there are three yeshiva students lined up. And the first one says, I think the answer is this and that and the other thing. And the man says to him, no, you're wrong. The second one offers his answer, and he says, you're wrong. And the third one, the last student, comes up and offers his answer, and the man stands up and says, that's it. None of you know the answer. There is no one here worthy of marrying my daughter. And he turns around and he drives away. As he is driving away, a student comes running after the coach and yells, stop. And so he tells the driver to stop, and the student comes running up breathless and looks in the window, and the man says, do you think you have the answer? And he says, no, I don't know the answer. He says, but I can't let you leave before you tell me what the answer is. And the man says, you're the man for my daughter. He didn't want to know someone who knew the answer. He wanted to know someone whose hunger for knowing the answer never went away. The reason that we need to be told the same messages again and again isn't because we don't know them, but because we're complacent, we're lazy, We're tired. We're distracted. We don't keep searching. The reason that we have synagogue every Shabbat morning, and by the way, minyan every morning and every evening, it's because we all need a constant shot in the arm, not to forget the things we really already know. Because the truth is, as soon as you go out into the world and you see cars and buildings and stores and wealth and clothes and power, it's very easy to forget that message of Bilam. That ultimately what God wants matters more than the king's money. Because it's true, we can feel it in here, but we lose it out there. And it is only by reminding ourselves that we are supposed to be constantly searching souls. Only by doing that do we have some chance of not letting this ephemeral wisdom slip through our fingers day after day after day. That's why, for a moment on Sunday morning, when someone looks even at the dustiest of platitudes, family matters most. For a moment, we realize that that's true. And a sacred community is a community that offers itself to each other so that together we keep reminding ourselves of what it is that matters. And when we lose it, we run after the coach. We come to the synagogue so that we can learn it again. That is, after all, the lesson of Bilam. He couldn't see what was right in front of him, what any donkey could see. And you can provide the synonym. And he couldn't see it because he was blinded by Bilam, by Balak's money. But it was there, and all of a sudden, when he was wrenched out of his complacency, it was obvious that before him was an angel. So tomorrow morning, and Monday morning, and Tuesday morning, and Wednesday morning, and Thursday morning, and Friday morning, and especially Shabbat, I hope that we can remember that which we already know. That we are in search of wisdom that is already given to us. That we can find it in our tradition, in our world, and in each other. And then, when we open our mouths, just like Bilam, out of it will come a blessing. Shabbat Shalom.